want to talk this morning on Your Love Never Fails, His Love Never Fails. And I hadn't realized that Matt was also going to have the song in his little list beforehand, but I felt it was just really a confirmation. It feels to me like at this time of the year, schools start again. It's almost like church starts again to some extent. I know we go on through the summer, but it just has a different feel. And it's just now we are getting back together again and looking to be moving on again to where the Lord's got to take us. And it was in that context I was thinking, but this is so important as a foundation that we understand just something of the Lord's love for us. Because the more we have of His love, the more we've got to give away. And we've got a great vision. You've got great visions, great plans, great purposes. But it was all founded and based on the love of God. And so I want to just share this morning on that. And the CD which you've just been listening to, or that track, is from Redding, California. And I brought the CD back from there. And one of the things that really spoke to me and impressed me when I was at Redding, actually, we never had an opportunity to share back for some reason. It's a few months ago now. But so much of the worship was just singing about and focusing on the love of God. So much of the worship was singing about and focusing on God is good. And it just creates a culture of encouragement and of blessing. And there was that real sense, the whole church were together in the vision which God's called them to go. And that real sense of you felt good just having been among them. And I thought as I came back from there, so much of that is to do with having understood God is good all the time. And in that little song that we've just been listening to, Lisa mentioned it to me, and I thought exactly the same. She said, you know, I turned that track on, Dad, and it just ministers to me. And there's a last little refrain in there, which we sang with Matt earlier on, and it's, I've got it written down. It's, you make all things work together for good. And we didn't quite pick it all up there. It went on a little bit longer. And it just keeps singing, you make all things work together for good. I mean, they haven't made that up. That's a quote from Scripture, which we'll refer to a little bit later. But I thought, we need to understand that. We need to get hold of that. That He makes all things work together for good because God's good. Amen. And God's full of love. Amen. I hope you catch something of that this morning as I share. God's love never fails. I've asked for three readers to come up. Actually, we probably just need another mic here. And we're going to read. Actually, can we have the little thing on there, Amy? And we're going to have three different renderings now. So if 1, 2, and 3 could all come up together, you've got a little notice on there. This is all from Ephesians 3, verse 17. And three different translations of the same verses, just bringing out, I think, different aspects of the passage. So I'll start with Jeff and just hand it on, please, Jeff.
And I pray that you, being rooted and established in love, may have power together with all the saints to grasp how wide and long and high and deep is the love of Christ, and to know His love that surpasses knowledge, that you may be filled to the measure of all the fullness of God.
Amen.
And I ask Him that with both feet planted firmly on love, you'll be able to take in with all followers of Jesus the extravagant dimensions of Christ's love, reach out and experience the breadth, test in length, plumb the depth, rise to the heights, live full lives, full in the fulfillment of God.
Your roots will grow down into God's love and keep you strong. And may you have the power to understand, as all God's people should, how wide, how long, how high and how deep His love is. May you experience the love of Christ, though it is too great to understand fully. Then you will be made complete with all the fullness of life and power that comes from God.
Thank you, everybody. Thanks, guys. What a prayer. What a prayer Paul was praying for that Ephesian church. And he started off that they might know and understand the love of God. And I just want to look through four phrases from that prayer. And I think they should be coming up behind me one at a time, please, Amy. And the first thing Paul says, and I pray that you being rooted and established in love. It's where Paul starts. Don't need that, do I? It's where Paul starts. His prayer is that the church are rooted and established in love, in God's love. It's a foundational concept because, you see, God doesn't just love. He is love all the time. Unconditional love. Constant love. Never changing love. It's not based on what you or I have done or we haven't done. We've sung, His love never fails. And I'm sharing this again. You will have heard it before, some of you. Some of you might be for the first time. But I want us to really understand He loves you. And He loves me. As you are. He loves the alcoholic. He loves the drug addict. And He loves the prostitute. He loves the successful businessman. And He loves the scientist who this week has decided that it didn't need God to bring creation into being. And He loves those which can't even be bothered with God. And He loves all those that Debs and the team in Reading yesterday met. And those which just walked by. He loves us all just the same. God is a God of love. And that truth needs to go down so that you receive and know and have revelation and understand His love. You see, bad stuff happens to good people. And at times like that, some ask the question, well, where is God then? If God's a God of love, where is God now? And there's not always easy answers for questions like that. But when love is our foundation and our roots have gone deep, when bad things happen, we're immovable. And we might be saying, I don't know. I haven't got the answers, but I do know His love never fails. I do know that God is good all the time. That's faith. That's faith. You might think, I don't have any difficulties or hardships in life. Not true. Some of you sitting here have hardships and difficulties in life. But His love never fails. Amen. Because God is love and God is good. I attended a funeral this week. 26-year-old daughter of a couple of pastor friends, which Jackie and I had, died suddenly last week. Incredibly difficult. Out of the blue. She'd been suffering with epilepsy since she was 8, and she was on drugs, and it had affected her health, but her dying was just out of the blue. She'd been married 2 years. Before she got married, she won her husband to the Lord. They had no children, but she had a cell of 9. And at the funeral, they all gave their tribute too about what a lovely person she'd been to them. She loved God, she loved the church, and she loved life. And at this funeral service, there was emotion, and there was pain, and there were tears, because she was so well loved and appreciated, and because, of course, she was only 26. She enjoyed life, and she enjoyed spending time with her family and with her friends. But you see, I came back from that service, and I had tears in my eye. I didn't know the daughter very well. I went to support the mum and dad. But I had tears in my eyes. But I came out of that service feeling good because the focus had been on God. The focus had been, we don't understand, but God does. The focus had been, He is always good. And He will turn this, what is a bad situation for us around, into something good. The husband wept and wept and wept at the coffin. The family, tears and everything. But when they gave their tributes afterwards, it was like, but we trust You, Lord. We trust You. And I came away from there feeling I've been part of a church which has a clear, strong foundation. God is love and God is good all the time. We need to have that deep in our hearts. You see, Paul is so convinced of the unshakableness of God that this is what he writes. He says, who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall trouble or hardship or persecution or famine or nakedness or danger or sword. In other words, you know, whatever the enemy might throw at us, whatever the world might throw at us, whatever just befalls us, bad stuff, he says, no. In all these things, we are more than conquerors. And that church which I was visiting just a few days ago, they were more than conquerors. Lynn had died. But their view was, but now she's released from that body of sickness and pain to be who she really is. She's still alive. And now she's free. And of course, they felt the pain, but they weren't allowing the pain to bring them down. They were more than conquerors in Christ. And so can we be, of course, because of his love for us. And Paul goes on, for I am convinced that neither life nor death, neither angels nor demons, neither the present nor the future, nor any powers, neither height nor depth, nor anything else in all creation will ever be able to separate us from the love of God that is in Christ Jesus. Wow. What a revelation. What a foundation. So how did Paul come to that place? And this is my second point I want to bring to you. He prays that we'll be rooted and established, grounded in love. And then he says that we may have power together with all the saints, together with all the church, not just for me, not just for Jeff, and not just for my mum, but with everyone here, to grasp how wide and long and high and deep is the love of Christ. How did Paul get to that place where he said nothing could ever separate us? It wasn't just a little thought that he had. The Spirit of God had enabled him to grasp something. Revelation had come of the love of God. And we need revelation to understand. I don't think I understand it all, but I've got more revelation than I had before of the incredible love of God. How expansive, how mind-boggling his love is towards us. It needs to be so much more than a theological concept, doesn't it? It's got to be something that touches our hearts. Paul prays that the eyes of our hearts might be opened. You see, the love of God, it's like an ocean. You can't measure it. It's all-encompassing. It never runs out. It never runs dry. And it's for me. And it's for me. And it's just loving me, pouring out on me all day long and on you. That's the love of God. That's the love of God. It just keeps coming. It just keeps coming. And you mess up and it still comes. And you don't read your Bible and it still comes. And you don't go to church and it still comes. And you swear and the love of God's there because he loves you just the same. And you witness and you do the stuff that Debs does and he loves her just the same. As if she was watching television at home or when she's out there in the town. Isn't that right? Because it's constant and his love is for us. We need a revelation of the love of God, because this is the foundation of God, it's the foundation of the gospel, it's the foundation of any vision that we might have. And some of you might be thinking, but if you really knew what I was like, if you really knew what I thought, well, I don't, but he does. And he still loves you. I'm sorry, it's one thing you can't get out of, his love. And one of the hardest things I found is for this concept of love to travel from here to here. Just that 12 inches. Yes, when you become a Christian, you know the love of God. You believe the love of God. But there needs to be a revelation of this incredible love that we can enjoy. Then it becomes our foundation. One of the old songs, hymns we used to sing, how marvelous, how wonderful. And my song shall ever be, how marvelous, how wonderful is my Saviour's love for me. We sang it a few times in our cell over the years. And almost every time, tears well up in my eyes at just a freshness. How marvelous, how wonderful is his love for me. Keep singing it. I keep playing that track. Just keep playing it. Remember a few years ago, my favourite track, one with Kim Walker and Oh How He Loves Us, Oh How He Loves Us, just washes over me. Times when things are difficult, when things are hard, just immerse yourself in the love of God and let that revelation come. Number three, only got 4 points. Number three, Paul goes on to say, me just go back to the verse. Pray that it be rooted and established, that you'll have power to grasp. And then he says this, and to know this love that surpasses knowledge. Paul prays that this love, which even with revelation will never, ever be able to completely understand, but he prays that we will know this love. That's not more knowledge. He's talking about that we will experience his love. That's why I read some of those other translations in the Message, reach out and experience the breadth of his love. In the New Living Version, may you experience the love of Christ, though it is too great to fully understand. It's important that we don't just know, and I don't know it's possible to have revelation without experience, but we need to experience the love of Christ in our hearts. We need to know he loves us. We need to feel from time to time his love around us. We need to feel safe. We need to feel secure because he is for us all the time. Some people don't think that experience is important in church or in Christianity. I tell you, experience, doctrine of course is important, but unless that doctrine comes to life through experience, it just remains a distant reality. But when the Spirit comes and we experience his love, we know what the doctrine is all about. I was a Christian when I was 13. I heard somebody the other day give a similar testimony. It was like I gave my life to the Lord, you know, for a few years at that sort of time, every year for a few years. Wasn't quite sure when I got saved. By the time I was 13, I said, right, that's it. I'm not going to do it anymore. I've done it the last 3 years in a row. I'm a Christian now. But nothing much changed in my life. I had a Bible. I believed God. I went to church, this, that, and the other. Nothing much changed. When I was 19, I had an experience of the Holy Spirit. Everything changed. And do you know what the first manifestation of that experience was? I just wanted to hug people. Now, you know, those who know me, getting better these days. But, you know, it's not a natural thing for me to rush up to strangers particularly and to give them a hug. I was filled, well, baptized in the Spirit, received the Spirit. I had an experience of the Spirit of God. And the first thing that was released was the love of God for others. We need to experience. And because of that, by the way, I don't think I'd be a Christian now if I hadn't experienced what I believed. I take my hat off to you people if you believe and got no experience. For me, that needed to match up. And after I experienced God, I couldn't go back. This was it. I was caught. He had me trapped. I think I was saved at 13. I know I was saved at 19. So I experienced his love, I experienced the Spirit of God upon me. Some Christians don't think that's important. I think it's vitally important. And Paul prays that we all experience, all the saints, the whole church experiences the love of God. You see, you cannot experience the love of God if you're not saved, or you cannot receive the love of God if you're not saved. If you're not saved, you're under judgment. He loves you. He loves you. He loves them. He loves the unsaved, but they're under judgment. But once you become saved, you receive grace, mercy, forgiveness, acceptance, the love of God, the life of God flows into our hearts. So important, church, that we experience, isn't it? The love of God. How do we experience the love of God? Where does it come from? Well, before I go on to that, let me just say what difference it makes. And we sang that song, Majesty, and in there it said something like, your love has completely changed my life. I can't remember the right phrase there, but it talks about his love changing us. I was just thinking as I was preparing, you know, once we've experienced and understanding God's love, it transforms us. Fear has to go because perfect love casts out fear. Condemnation, guilt and shame, it has to go because if we are saved, we are in Christ. And we are perfectly holy. The past has gone. All the bad stuff is forgiven and dealt with forever. No condemnation for those of us who are in Christ Jesus. When we experience the love of God, low self-esteem has to go. Because the scripture says he's lavished his love upon us and made us children of God. We can hold our heads up high. We don't have to think we are just this, just the bad sinners, useless, da, 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 da. No, he's made us children of God. He's made us heirs of Christ. His love has been poured out and lavished upon us, 1 John tells us. No more rejection comes from the devil. Acceptance comes from the Lord, and he's accepted us. Some of us seem to struggle with rejection all our lives. We need an encounter of the love of God. And it doesn't matter whether your husband rejected you or your wife in the past or your friend has or this have. If God accepts us, it doesn't matter about the rest. We need to know that we're accepted because of his love for us. No more doubts. When God's love touches our hearts, we know he's good. We know he's for us. Bad things might happen, but we trust in him because he's good all the time. You see, our life is totally transformed when we experience the love of God. It's not totally transformed if we just believe about it, but it is when we experience it. It comes into our life, changes everything about us. So how do we experience? Well, scripture's quite clear. God has poured out his love into our hearts by the Holy Spirit, whom he has given us. I wouldn't have called my experience when I was 19 a baptism of love. People told me it was a baptism with the Holy Spirit. I never knew what the phrase might be for it. I just knew something happened to me. But when we experience the love of God through the Holy Spirit, not just something changes, everything changes. And I want to give opportunity before we go today for as many as want to come and just see whether the Lord wants to just release more of his love into our hearts again as we come to him to receive his love. You see, when things are hard, when things are difficult, when we're struggling in all sorts of things, we can very, very easily lose that sense and sight of the love of God. And that's why I don't think it's immature or unnecessary for us to keep coming back to him. Say, Lord, just fill me with your love again. Let me know your love. Let me know your presence. Let me know that you accept me. Let me know your grace in my life. I'm sorry I messed up last night. I'm sorry I did this, I did that. But I'm coming back to you, Lord, because without you, I can't do anything anyhow. And I want to give opportunity, and we'll pray, and we'll impart, and just ask the Holy Spirit just to come again. Assure us, to assure us of his love, and fill us up again. See, it's not, if Jackie experienced my love 30 years ago and not ever again since, we probably still wouldn't be married. There's a place where we keep giving love to each other. And there's a place where I think it's right, as the bride of Christ, we keep coming back to the bridegroom. Or as the children of God, we keep coming back to our Father. Say, come and give us your love again, Dad. I need to know your love. I need to know I'm okay still. I need to feel your arms around me. I don't know how I'm going to cope with this tomorrow. I don't know how I'm going to deal with that. That work situation, that family situation, this financial crisis. So I'm coming to you again, Father. Coming to you, Dad. Put your arms around me. Assure me it's all going to be all right in the end. Because it will, because his love never fails. If you're like me, there's times when you just want to come and receive from him again. And what's the result? That you may be filled to the measure of all the fullness of God. Wow. The message puts it this way: live full lives, full in the fullness of God. New Living Translation, then you will be made complete with all the fullness of life and power that comes from God. When? When love is our foundation. When we've begun to have a revelation of the love of God. When we've begun to experience the love of God, we will be filled to the measure of all the fullness of God. What a promise. Reach out, I would say. Reach out and experience his love. And your life will be full too. Why? How? Well, it's because his love has power to deal with all the bad stuff in our lives. when we go on an encounter weekend, we've got an encounter course coming up soon, the first subject is the Father's love. His love, and through his love and grace, everything else can get dealt with. So we need to come, and we need to understand. God's good, God's love. And I just want to close by the little phrase which I mentioned from that song, because when we know God's love, then we can say with confidence, you make all things work together for good. That's why I love that song. Just that refrain just kept going over me. You make all things work together for good. It's a phrase, it's a good confession based on the goodness of God. If you don't know his love or his goodness, you won't be able to say that with confidence. But when you do, you'll be able to say, you make all things work together for good. You see, God gets blamed for a lot of stuff. And most of it isn't come from him. No sickness ever came from him. He's the God who heals. Suffering doesn't come from God. He's the God who restores and comforts. Poverty doesn't come from God. He's the God who wants to bless. All good things come from God. All bad stuff comes from the devil. I think, you know, that's sort of basic, foundational, simple doctrine for me. And if you come to that place, then you pray for healing. If you come to that place, you pray for those who are suffering. You don't believe it's the will of God. And he wants to turn all things round to make bad things good to those that love him. In fact, this is what the scripture says. And we know, Romans 8, verse 27, and we know, deep down, we know that in all things, I'm not making this up, in all things, God works for the good of those who love him, who have been called according to his purpose. What a faith statement. What a faith statement to make. You know, for Leonard and Carolina, as their daughter, they lost their daughter last week. What a statement for them to be able to say, and we know that in all things, God works for the good of those who love him. It's not that the Lord has taken the daughter, of course. He's totally sovereign, and she's now with him. But it's not like he inflicted sickness and death, and now he's in trouble. He's got to try and turn this thing round. No, that stuff comes from the enemy. But God's a God of love and grace and goodness. And even the bad stuff, he will bring good out of, because that's who he is. And that's what he's like. And he's the one we serve. So I want to leave those thoughts with you, church, as we sort of start off a new term. Let's put our, maybe feet's the wrong word, let's put our spirits, our deep down, experience the love of God, know his love for us. And then it's out of that love, we've got something to give to others. It's out of that love, you know, it's not like when you become a Christian, everything's sorted and plain sailing, is it, Jeff? The struggles in our lives that we have to work through. But when we know the love of God, there's a grace we can receive to help us to come through that. And we can share with others what we've had these difficulties too, but we've trusted in the Lord, and the Lord's turned bad things into good, because he's the God that loves us. And we've got something to tell and something to share. So I want to give opportunity. Matt, where are you? If we could come and have some music, please. And Matt, I didn't know whether we could just sing that Majesty song again, actually. Yeah, if you like. Go further if you want. But and what I just wanted to ask was, I'd just like some worship here. And we can just sit and receive, or we can just join in. But as the worship's playing, if you feel like, well, I just need another touch from the Lord. I know he loves me, but I just need to feel it again. Then I just didn't feel we needed to rush, like we've got 5 minutes for God to turn up. But I just thought, if we had some music playing and some worship, maybe 10 minutes, 15 minutes, we can just be here. We could just give space for him to come. He can touch you where you are, but if you wanted to come forward, then we can pray with you here. And Jackie, would you just organise a team to pray, please? And then we can just allow the Lord to do what he wants. And I'm not thinking like this is major prophetic words and ministry here. This is just coming before our dad, saying, just need another touch from you, Dad, to know that you love me, to go out from here, to take your love with me, to give to my family, to give to my work colleagues, to give to my, whoever it might be. Okay, that we might be filled with the fullness of God. So it's just... maybe quietly worship just for to start with, just for a little while. And then if you just want prayer, then just make your way to the front gradually, and we'll pray.